Greetings and welcome to another edition of Throttle Up. And this is actually a special edition of Throttle Up. And this is volume 3 of the special edition. And it addresses the critical thinking tutorial. So the reason for this, of course, is that we have now got to the point where it's pretty obvious that critical thinking ought to be the fundamental skills for all Americans, for those that are in the workforce, that those that are not yet in the workforce, and that those that are retired. Critical thinking, I think, is, in my view, is the way forward for this great country of ours to get rid of a lot of the baggage that has accumulated over time, brought to us by some strange, nefarious forces that I would call, I would put a label on them, and my label would be that they are globalists and those that subscribe to collectivism. Anyway, this is a show that is for and all about critical thinking, and it is designed to inform, delimit, empower, and amaze. Now, all aboard the Throttle Up Express, powered by high velocity reason, I am your host and guide for this journey and this for this particular special edition, and I am delighted to be here. I am your host, Captain Kevin Smith, U.S. Navy retired. I am a naval aviator and a pioneer in the field of critical thinking and high-velocity reason. Now, our tagline for the show is to accelerate beyond the ordinary. And, of course, how do we do that? And that's what this show is all about. How do we get out ahead of the ordinary and look at those things that we would consider to be extraordinary? Also, we could use terms like innovation, creativity. In other words, get out of the pack, get ahead of the pack, get beyond groupthink, and get out there in the fresh air where innovation and creativity thrives. Our motto for the show is employ high velocity reason to achieve high octane performance. Our key performance objective is to provide solutions to our most pressing problems so as to reliably achieve mission success. Our mission statement for the show is this: to provide our listening audience with a relatively easy yet effective way to strengthen our power of reason through the employment of critical thinking. Okay, so what are we all about? We are going to employ critical thinking to strengthen our power of reason. And the power of reason that we have is the most powerful thing in my view. It's the most powerful thing in the universe, our power of reason. And please don't relinquish that power to anyone, okay? That is yours to develop, and it's yours to keep. What are you keeping? You are keeping and retaining for yourself, for your individual self, your power of reason. And that will propel us forward, and that will extract us from this quagmire of what I call intellectual nonsense that is occurring today in the political sphere of our existence. Okay, so let me finish a few other administrative items. Our website is throttleupradio.com. That's throttleupradio.com. And, of course, we are part of the Red State Talk Radio network. And finally, our audio engineering services for this and other shows going forward is provided by Evergroove Studios, and they are located in Evergreen, Colorado, and they are a great group of folks. Enjoy working with them, and I would highly recommend their services to anyone who desires audio engineering services. Now, our show is typically organized into three parts. Part one is critical thinking, continuing our discussions of critical thinking. Part two is the storyboard, and part three is the radio essay. That's a typical show. This is going to be a little bit different. This special edition, we will modify that very, very slightly, but we will stick with the overall structure of the show. So, without any further ado, we will say that all aboard the Throttle Up Express, this is the place where all critical thinkers are welcome with open arms, and where America finds solutions to its most pressing problems. Now, let us proceed to part one. Okay, this is Throttle Up Part 1, and also this is a special edition of Throttle Up, and this happens to be Volume 3 in a what may very well be a four-set series. Actually, I apologize for this. I'm not quite sure because we have a lot of material to cover today, and actually, I'm not sure that we can get through all of it as going over my notes and documents for this show this morning. I was taken by the fact that we may very well have just scratched the surface. And so we'll see how this goes. And if we need to, we will absolutely do a fourth volume of this show. This happens to be Throttle Up Special Edition, Volume 3, as I said, and this is the critical thinking tutorial, which we will play, and then, of course, replay this on a periodic basis because I do think it's very important. And my whole reason for this show, and I guess you could say my whole reason for being here, is that I believe that critical thinking is the fundamental skills that we all ought to have as Americans. It doesn't matter what you do. It simply doesn't. But what I think is critical for this country, if we are not going to succumb to the nefarious forces that want to take us under, if we are going to extract ourselves from the quagmire of intellectual nonsense, then we all need to be critical thinkers of the highest order. And that's not hard to do. That's my whole point. It is not hard. And it is not reserved for special case persons or special situations, like when I was initially exposed to critical thinking as a young naval aviator and fighter pilot. It was clear that we needed to have this kind of mental processing capability in order to survive and to succeed in battle. And so we are taking this now mainstream because there is no reason why it shouldn't be taken mainstream. It's not just for special case people like myself, but it is good, useful, and vital for all of us to understand it and to use it on a regular basis. So this whole body of knowledge I call critical thinking essentials. Okay, it's different than what most people understand, right? So this is a different take on critical thinking. It's a different way that we have organized ourselves, because we call it critical thinking essentials for operators and managers. In other words, this is real-world critical thinking. This is not just another academic exercise or theoretical construct for the theoreticians of the world. This is for all of us, and it ought to be easy to use and applicable across the board, and that is the whole purpose of this. So our critical, and eventually we're going to be talking about the critical thinking model, our critical thinking model that has been optimized for real-time operations. This model contains a number of important attributes. They are, one, it is easy and quick to use, making it useful in almost all situations. Two, it is agile and adaptive, such that it can respond to changing operational conditions. Now, this is probably, in my view, this is the most important attribute for this critical thinking model that we are in the process of introducing to the audience. And it also is a important, critical, vital attribute for all systems, for all cognitive systems. And our brain, in fact, is a cognitive system. I guess you could say that, well, the psychologists generally don't use those terms, but no matter. I'm not an academician, nor am I a psychologist. I'm a trained operator as well as a designer of advanced adaptive systems. So, agile and adaptive, that's what this model brings to the table. Also, it can deal with the nonlinear. That is, it can deal with nonlinear situations as well. And you notice that a nonlinear situation is a bit more complex than a linear situation. It requires a certain amount of analytical processing to go on. You cannot just jump to conclusions when you're dealing with a nonlinear situation. Also, problem solving. It can handle nonlinear problem solving effectively. All right, that is particularly important. I could also add to that by saying it can handle nonlinear problem solving under increased time compression effectively, and also it can deal with whole, complete systems in a mission system context. It does not necessarily stop at the component level. And most analytical tools that you will encounter in your lives deals very well with the components of a system, but they deal with the components of a system in isolation of one another. And that's not what we want to do, and that's not what we are all about, and that's not what we need. If we're going to propel this nation forward, we need to be able to deal with whole systems. Another way of saying that is mission system. In other words, the system that directly supports the mission and the mission objectives. And also, finally, the critical thinking model that we are going to present does, in fact, deal effectively with big mechanisms. That is another way of saying that a big mechanism is, in fact, a large-scale system, and a large-scale system behaves in unusual ways. It is not necessarily easy to understand using conventional tools and using conventional thinking. In fact, large-scale systems, another way of putting that is these are big mechanisms. If we are going to use conventional wisdom, it is not going to help us much in being able to understand what exactly is going on. All right. So that completes my discussion for the reasons for critical thinking. And now we're going to go on to part two, which is the storyboard. And the storyboard is our journey. on the Critical Thinking Superhighway. So stay tuned to part two. Okay, this is Throttle Up, part two, and this is also our special edition of Throttle Up, volume three. So there's a probably going to be a four-part series here before we're done. This happens to be the third part or the third volume of this special edition, which deals with critical thinking. It's a critical thinking tutorial. It also deals with the critical thinking model that will be presented in a way that you can understand it and use it effectively in your own lives. Also, this critical thinking model is available on our website, or it will be momentarily available on our website. And our website, of course, is throttleupradio.com. And I would encourage all of my listeners out there to go to the website, and you will notice that it is quite a nice modern representation of the critical thinking superhighway and the critical thinking model. Now, this critical thinking superhighway sort of like sets the stage for us to understand this thing in a way that we can then appreciate what the critical thinking model can do for us. So today we're going to continue our journey on the critical thinking superhighway. And just as a review from last time, the critical thinking superhighway is powered by innovation and creativity. And we mentioned that it is a skill that can be learned. It lends itself to practice, and when used with intent, will produce amazing results. We also presented last time the critical thinking motto, which is clarify, reason, win. We also talked about the critical thinking model is in fact set up just like any system, and the purpose of it is to achieve mission success. And then we talked about seeking higher ground, and this is particularly important, which is, I think we ended on this note last time, which is to consider higher levels of abstraction to overcome the confusion that is caused, no doubt, by complexity. So another way of saying that is that if you find yourself in a complex environment or a complex situation, the only way that you can extract yourself from the quagmire of complexity is to consider higher levels of abstraction with respect to what you believe is going on. So you need to move up the abstraction hierarchy, or another way of saying that, you need to move up the abstraction ladder. So we do not deal with specifics. We do not deal with the literal. We deal with the abstract. We create an abstract model of the situation. And once we do that, we can begin to extract ourselves from the quagmire of complexity and start working toward a solution. Okay, so that's where we ended. We're going to continue now. We're going to talk about analytics, and this is particularly important, all right? So the critical thinking model that we are going to present is, in fact, analytic-based. It is supports and encourages and celebrates the area of thought or the arena of thought that we consider to be analytical. Or, in other words, we apply analytics to our understanding of how we can achieve a solution to a complex and challenging problem. Okay, so analytics is a whole new world of actual. It creates a whole new environment, if you will, to handle complex situations. Now, with respect to analytics, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time on this as we go forward, but we will make it as easy and as fun to do as possible. So let me talk a little bit about as we get into this, and we're gonna get into this analytical thing in a kind of a major way. But to introduce this section on what we call analytics or analytic reason. All right, so part of this model employs analytic reason, okay? That is distinctly different from ad hoc reasoning. It is distinctly different from knee-jerk reactions, which are fairly typical, particularly in our political sphere. The political operatives really love to do that. They will immediately jump to conclusions. They will pretend that they know what they're talking about. Often they don't. And we need to hold their feet to the fire. We need to hold them accountable. We need to question, how did they come to that conclusion? You notice I said how, not what is it that they are talking about, but how did they get to there? How did they come to that conclusion? And so the way we are going to answer the how is that we are going to address ourselves to the world of analytics or the analytic reasoning process. So to start this off, let me give you a brief story of something that happened to me, and it happened to me, which really opened my eyes to this whole aspect of critical thinking, which was particularly important in solving a major problem. So I was, after I retired from the Navy as a naval aviator and a senior air combat pilot and instructor and former squadron commander, I went to work with a major airline. And as part of my duties, I was in the training center and I was working on some advanced training products for the airline as well as the industry. And the vice president of training came up to me and he said, "We have a problem." I said, "Well, what is it?" He says, "Well, we have a problem with a particular fleet," which happens to be, in this case, it was the 767 fleet, or that airplane was being flown by this airline, and there were a lot of pilots assigned to that airplane fleet, and it was a 767. So the pilots who were transitioning from a smaller airplane to this is their first wide body airplane, they were having trouble in training. And so he came to me and he said, "We have a problem. We have a excessively high training failure rate for this particular group of pilots, for this particular fleet, and we actually don't know what to do about it." And I said, "Well, let me take a look at it." And he said, "Well, we think we know what the problem is." And I says, "Well, don't tell me." I said, "I don't really want to know. I want to take a look at this objectively and to apply some critical thinking to the problem and see if I can identify the solution or the set of solutions that we could employ to solve the problem." So I was involved in problem solving. And this was, in fact, a big problem for this particular country as well as a company as well as the industry. And so I started working and I looked at all of the things that were going on, and everybody thought that they had the answer, but none of it rang true. And eventually I stumbled on something, didn't stumble on it, I actually uncovered something through the use of critical thinking that was way outside the box. And that was this, that the pilots were using the systems in the airplane to perform a particularly difficult maneuver, which was required of them to achieve proficiency in this maneuver. But the information that was being provided to them in the cockpit system or the displays that provide aeronautical information to the flight crews, that system was not optimized for this maneuver. In fact, it was misleading. And so there was a disconnect between what the pilot needed, in other words, what was the knowledge required, and what was being provided to the pilot through the aeronautical system output. And so that disconnect, I discovered the disconnect through the use of critical thinking, which was way outside the box. And I solved it by ignoring certain display features and emphasizing other display features. And that solved the problem almost immediately. And so we were able to then get all of these pilots back up to speed quickly. We solved the training failure problem in a big way, and this solution spread all across the whole airline. And I think now all the airlines are using this solution that we discovered utilizing critical thinking. And so that begins our discussion of analytics. Now, with respect to that, what do we mean by analytics? And here is the first step. The first step in the analytic process is what we call chunking or abstract clustering. They mean the same thing. So let me use the term that I like again. It's called abstract clustering. And what it is this. We do not view the world as isolated components. Our reality is such that the things that we observe in a unfolding situation or a complex environment or whatever, the things that we observe out there, and this also includes our political landscape, the things that we observe should not be observed in isolation with one another, right? In order for us to truly understand what's going on, we need to do a couple of things mentally or utilizing our cognitive abilities in a different way, okay? So if you like to look at the individual components of a thing or the individual aspects of a thing or what we call discrete data processing, we need to rethink that, and we need to then, once that begins to occur, we need to remind ourselves that what we need to do is we need to find common threads across this problem space. We need to find those hidden connections that probably, and I would say that most certainly, will exist among these features of the situation. And so we have the situation that contains certain elements and certain features to it. And what are the common aspects of this landscape? What are the common aspects among these features that we have observed? It's called by two things, by two names, but they are used interchangeably, and that's fine. The first one is chunking, and the other one is abstract clustering. They mean the same thing. Now, and there's a really a kind of a fascinating a research study that was done, and I believe this was done, some time ago, if I remember right. It was sometime in the mid-1980s, where psychologists were studying chess masters, and they discovered something quite unusual about world-class chess players. world-class chess players did not mentally engage in moving individual pieces. World-class chess players engaged in mentally moving groups of players on the board. And so the psychologists called this chunking. They called it some kind of a grouping effect where sets, not individuals, but sets of players on the chessboard were actually mentally moved conceptually or cognitively before the actual movement took place. And so they were able to look ahead at certain moves that contributed to groups of players. It's called chunking. I call it abstract clustering, and it means the same thing. It basically means that you are moving grouping certain aspects of reality, certain features of the reality landscape that you have encountered. You are grouping them in some kind of a structure, which we call abstract clustering. And so abstract clustering, you notice that it says two things, and these are particularly important. One, it says abstract, and that means that you, instead of viewing something literally, you view it in a more abstract way. You understand it in a more abstract way. So you may not be given, you may not say that it is blue. You may say that it possesses a color, which distinguishes it from other colored items. So it is a colored item. That's an abstract way of saying blue. It is a colored item. All right, so that's the kind of thing that we need to practice doing on a daily basis. We need to look at the world, and we need to then view it through the lens of abstractness. Maybe I just created that word. I'm not sure. Abstract. I said abstractness, and I'm not even sure that's a correct word. But anyway, I think you get my meaning. It is, you view things from an abstract perspective, and then you show commonalities among certain elements, which is called clustering. Okay, so abstract clustering becomes a particularly important part of the analytical process that we use going forward in our journey into the world of critical thinking. And for review, we are on the critical thinking superhighway, and we are observing these signs or informational kiosks that are set up along the superhighway, along the way, and our journey will take us from the beginning to the end of this whole critical thinking process. All right, so we are going to take a slight break here to prepare ourselves for the next section of this special edition of Throttle Up, which happens to be the critical thinking tutorial, and we will be right back. Okay, welcome back to a special edition of Throttle Up, and this special edition is all about critical thinking, or the critical thinking model. We also call it the critical thinking tutorial. And this happens to be volume 3 of the special edition. And it looks like we will be at least having 3. No, I think we'll probably have to do a fourth one because we're kind of running out of time here, and there's a lot to cover. But anyway, so I'm having a rather good time in doing this. I hope you're enjoying it out there. And I know when anybody when anybody wants to talk about a critical thinking model, I know a lot of you say, well, this is really going to be boring. Hopefully it's not. And we'll try to make it as lively and as interesting as possible. And critical thinking really ought to be accessible to everyone. And it ought to be easy to use. And it ought to be just as easy to use as conventional thinking. In fact, it ought to replace conventional thinking and conventional wisdom, because that is not doing us much good anymore. And we need critical thinking for lots and lots of reasons. Okay, so first of all, we are on the critical thinking superhighway. We are still traveling. We did take a short break to gas up. And now we're back on the highway. And the next stop along the way, and the next sign that we see, is in fact finding it here. And that happens to be what we call the playing field. All right, now, it's kind of a new term, but what actually does that mean? All right, the playing field. Well, it goes by a number of terms, right? But this is particularly important, and this is often missed. Frankly, in most treatments on critical thinking, this is often missed, but it is, in fact, quite important. I would say it's vital to a successful conclusion of a critical thinking process and a critical thinking project, if you will. All right, so what do we mean by playing field, right? Which is, here's the way we introduce it. Don't try to play baseball on a football field and vice versa. Okay, so let me say that again, because this is becoming really the heart and soul of critical thinking. Don't try to play baseball on a football field and vice versa. Understand your playing field. Understand the field or the arena that you wish to play on. Now, you say, well, doesn't critical thinking operate from a single playing field? And my answer to that is critical thinking utilizes a number of playing fields, and that depends upon the level of urgency, or another way of saying that, is that depends upon the level of risk or danger that you may or are encountering. So the playing field will change with respect to the amount of danger or risk involved. And that is one of the key features of the critical thinking model that we use, which is understand how risky this situation might become or how risky this situation is. For example, if there are a high level of risk associated with what you may have encountered along the way, what the situation is now showing you or what you are experiencing, then understanding your field of play is, in fact, important. And the field of play will change depending on the level of risk. Okay, so the next stop along the way is what we call clarify the actual. Now, that's particularly important because if we don't understand what actually is going on, then we're pretty much dead in the water here from a critical thinking standpoint. We're pretty much at the end of our rope, and now we're just struggling along with you know, hoping for the best, but not really expecting to achieve anything. And we might very well be what we call a dead man spiral. And we are spiraling into the ground, and we are going to achieve mission failure. So what's important here is to make sure that we truly understand what is going on. And that's clarify the actual. And that means that we have spent some time on the front end of this process, right? We have spent some time on the front end, and that is that we have spent some time on the problem definition. What is the problem for which you are, or which we are, seeking a solution? Now, this is a really effective phrase, if you will, or statement, or question for anyone out there that is proposing that a problem exists in our lives, or proposing that a problem exists in the life of this country. And you notice that in the political sphere, this is often abused on a daily basis. And our response to that is not to go where these people are going. They want you to join them and agree with them that their solution seems to be the only game in town. And that's, of course, preposterous. The world doesn't work that way, and they want you to believe it does, but it doesn't. The world does not work that way. And so what we want is to clarify the actual, clarify exactly what's going on and understand it in a way that we can formulate a response to this clarified problem. And this really begins to get into the, you know, the heart and soul of the critical thinking model that we're about to present, which is our brains are a cognitive system, okay? And they are very, very powerful. They are a very powerful cognitive system. And one of the things that will help us along in our ability to understand the world such that we can come up with a meaningful response to a particular or pressing problem. And that's called the event response protocol. Now, you notice that I said event response, right? So if we have encountered a problem that we can classify as an event is a non-trivial occurrence. If we can clarify exactly what the problem is and identify it in terms of its event or its event set, then in order for us to be a robust cognitive system, we need to be able to respond to an encountered event in a meaningful, productive way. Okay, that completes that that stop along the way, and we're going to continue our journey now along the critical thinking superhighway, and the next stop along the way is what we call a mindset. And the mindset is to make sure that we are not limiting ourselves in our ability in the world or the realm of perception. We are not self-limiting ourselves. So open your minds to a broader perspective, right? Open your minds completely and accept all incoming signals. Most people don't do that. Most people have cognitive biases that prevent them from opening their minds, and so they are not using their full capabilities as a cognitive system. In order for us to understand, truly understand, the reality that we are encountering, the reality that we are in, the reality that we face, we have to open up our minds to all incoming signals. And in order to do that, we need to situate ourselves such that we can, in fact, receive all incoming signals. And it may require us to change our location mentally or physically. In other words, we may have to situate ourselves in a different location. So situate becomes important as we start this process. What process? We start the critical thinking process. So situate may very well be important. And often it is. All right, so once we are in the proper situation to receive all incoming signals, then we detect, all right? It's called, the technical term for this is called signal detection. I happen to like it. I didn't come up with it necessarily. It actually comes from a rather obscure area of decision theory called signal detection theory. And I was first exposed to it by a professor that was working in this area at the University of Colorado at Boulder. And, well, I guess I could use his name. I don't see why not. It's Professor Reed Hasty. He was working in the area of decision theory. And he introduced me to this field. I've never heard of it before, but I'm glad he did. He introduced me to this field called signal detection theory. And so the ability to detect a signal, the ability to understand what actually is going on requires a little bit of thinking, right? It's not automatic. What you think you see or what you think you observe may not be true. So we need to spend a little bit of time up front to understand or to confirm that that whatever we are observing is in fact accurate and that we have clarified it. So clarify the actual by recognizing the signals that we have detected and recognizing perhaps the signals that we haven't detected but we should have. In other words, we understand there may be some blanks, there may be some things that are missing, obviously, or maybe not quite so obviously, but nevertheless, there are things that are missing. So we understand, we detect the signals that we have observed. We also recognize that there may be signals that are missing. Okay, now we are coming up to almost the end. We're going to take another short break, and then we will be right back to conclude our show for this section, which is Volume 3 of the Critical Thinking Tutorial. Stand by. Okay, this is Part 3 of Volume 3. Of the special edition of Throttle Up, which is the Critical Thinking Tutorial. And we are going to continue our journey along the Critical Thinking Superhighway. Now, we just finished talking about signal detection or detection are detecting the signals coming in after we have situated ourselves to in fact detect signals coming in. And then after we have completed our detection of the signals, now remember, we are not jumping to conclusions. We're not even characterizing the signals necessarily. We are just detecting them. Okay? We're just detecting something out there. There are signals. Now, are they good signals? Are they bad? We don't know yet. We haven't made that judgment. We're going to withhold our judgment. Now, the way we're going to do that is that we're going to then take these signals that we have detected as part of what we call the signal detection aspect of this critical thinking cognitive process, and then we're going to orient. We're going to orient ourselves, and this is called orientation, and we're going to orient ourselves with respect to the signals that we have detected. And what does that mean? What do you mean by orientation, Kevin? I mean, that's kind of a strange term. I know, but it's not. It's not a strange term. It ought not to be. It's a fairly easy to understand, often neglected, but an easy to understand cognitive process. It was highlighted by John Boyd in his original critical thinking decision model, which was called the OODA loop, and orientation, or the ability to orient oneself with respect to the problem or the problem space. Now, remember that we talked about last time, all right? We talked about problem space awareness. So we are trying to understand the problem, but in order to do that, we have to orient ourselves within the domain of the problem, within the problem space. We have to orient ourselves. And the way we have to orient ourselves, and we also have to orient all the other players. If there's other players that are contained within the signals that we have detected, which we are now placing in a conceptual construct called the problem space, where are they located? Where are they located with respect to us, and where are we in the problem space? Are we just casual observers, so we're outside the problem space, or are we an integral part of the picture? If we are an integral part of the picture, then we are within the problem space. And then how do the situation develops with respect to our being inside the problem space? In other words, we are now an active participant in solving the problem. We're not a casual observer observing other people. Okay, so that completes our discussion of that aspect of critical thinking. But I do want to, well, I guess what I want to say here is that there are, in fact, a couple of other things before we leave that train of thought. There are a couple of other things that we want to talk about, and we will get to those on volume 4 of this special edition of Throttle Up, and that should be, we will get to that right away. But we are running out of time, and I must conclude this volume 3 within the next minute. And then I promise that we will do volume 4, which will then hopefully complete this set of this critical thinking tutorial. And I want to leave you with this thought. Do not ignore that which may run counter to closely held beliefs. All right. And so going forward then, that is our continuing journey on the Critical Thinking Superhighway. Thank you for listening. I enjoyed doing this. I hope you are enjoying this discussion and the special edition of Throttle Up.